Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the hottest new show on the internet, where your host is an innovator, motivator, captivator, an inspirator, and an authoress. She comes raw and uncut. Sit back and relax. You're about to be unmasked by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Every Friday, right here, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
You and me, girl.
I see you remember that song.
Uh-huh. Go a long way back. And I'm so proud. I'm so proud. Yeah. You and me, girl. Go a long way back. Yeah, yeah, we go a long way back. I remember when loving you wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, baby. But I stuck on in there with you, and we made it. Sugar, we made it. Do it all, all. Now let's keep it up. 'Cause I ain't had it. Trying to love me wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, baby. But you stuck on in there with me, and you see what we made it. Just you and me, and we love each other so. Till we can't let each other go. No, yeah. You and me, girl. Go a long way back. Such a long, long.
Wow, that was Bloodstone. We go a long way back. I'm sitting up here, I'm just a rocking in my chair, yeah, because I'm feeling that thing. But, you know, before I get started, I just want to say my co-host, Shalonda, she's here with us, but she has some kind of allergy or something's going on. So she might be hearing some hawking of that stuff, that thick-ass phlegm might come out, or you might hear some sneezing. But you know something? I told her, fill up on a tissue, get your bucket, you know, and get your cup of water, and just try to hang in there. But if she don't, we're going to make this do what it do, because that's how I do it on this show. And I also want to say hi to a friend of mine, Tracy Arnold, out of Columbus, Georgia, who's not feeling too well. And I want to thank everybody that's here today listening from north to south, east to west, you know, for hanging out on this Friday on Unmasked with authoress Tara E. Lyle. But tonight, oh, we got something hot for you. We got a special guest named Kim Robinson. She's a sewing instructor. She's a writer. She done wrote about 5 books. But you know something? We're going way back, like the song said. We're going back in the time when Kim used to be a madam. She had a little brothel. She had a little whores out there making that money where she used to sell drugs, trying to get paid, when she was out there doing her own thing, selling her own body, doing what it had to do. And when she got locked up behind bars, but she here today to tell her story. So we're going way back, because what she used to be is not what she is today. But I just want to say, welcome to my guest, Kim Robinson. How you doing, sweetie?
Hey, Terry. How you doing?
I'm doing good, though. It's so good to have you here.
I'm good. I'm here and I'm blessed.
All right. And before we get started, I just want to say hi to my co-host, Shalonda. How you doing, Shalonda?
Hi, Miss Terry. I'm hanging in there.
Terry, here you like, let me tell. We can't hear nothing you saying.
You can't hear me? I'm sorry.
Hear you now. Get that spit out your throat. Clear your throat. Clear that head. You know what I'm saying? Go put your face in some hot water, steam it. Put a towel
right,
like we do way back in the day.
You
and
know,
it's in jail,
you got a sinus,
you know,
infection.
Yeah.
You got a sinus infection. All you got to do is take some Neosporin, stick it up in your nose, and before you know it, it'll be cleared up.
Really? I got some Neosporin in my pocketbook, actually.
It works. It works, girlfriend.
Wow.
I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, go ahead and make it do what
when
you
I
do.
When I first moved to Texas, I couldn't take it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Kim Robinson, she's out by the way of Compton, California, is where she was born, but she now resides in Texas. So we can go back to when Kim had shared with me, I think she was 11 or 13, and she had a sugar daddy. Damn it, at 13 years old, you ought to know about candy. What you know about a sugar daddy?
Girl, please. I was raised in Compton, okay? And you either joined the gang or you got your ass beat every day. And I got tired of getting my ass kicked, so I got with the guy that was running the gang, okay?
Okay.
And I looked like a boy at that time. And he would sell, he would fix up cars and fix up lowriders and sell them. Well, he taught me how to hop carts real good, and we'd go to the street races, and he'd tell them, I'm going to let my little brother hop against you. But he had taught me how to do that shit so well that we was taking pink slips, girl. I was
so who is
paid,
the kid you're referring to? Because you got cut off when you initially started talking.
Huh?
Who is the he that you're referring to, your sugar daddy?
The one when I was 13?
Yes.
He was a 19-year-old gang leader.
Oh.
Okay, then when I was 17, I had a 42-year-old who was running stuff all over the world. And, you know, I liked the money.
Okay, well, let's go back a little further. Let me go back to the time when you was at home and you was raised by a single parent or one parent.
Oh, I have both my mother and father, but my father was a disabled veteran, and he spent a lot of time in the VA hospital. My mom worked in a factory, soldering circuit boards. And
so, tell me, what happened at the age of 13, obviously you were sexually active if you said you had a sugar daddy, even though he was 17.
Well, no, he was 19.
19. Okay, yeah. Well, at the age of, when did you lose your virginity?
I lost that when I was 5 to a preacher.
5 years old?
Yeah, to
so
a
you
preacher.
Were molested at 5?
I was molested at the age of 5. And I kept
And where
that
were
secret.
You at? I mean, why was no one there
I
to protect?
I kept that secret for 30-something years. I even kept it for myself. The psychiatrists say I disassociated from
it. Well, that's
from
what your body and your mind
do
when something is... It would try to protect it. Okay,
it
but at the age
survive.
Of 5, where did this happen? In church, at home? How did this happen?
Okay, well, what happened was my mother used to take me to church, and what she considered church was Easter and Christmas at a Catholic church where you sit there and you listen to that music, okay? But then... my parents went to Vegas one weekend and left me with a family member, and I'm not going to say which one, but anyway, that family member took me to this church, and girl, they had guitars and drums and all this stuff going on, and stuff that a 5-year-old just doesn't understand, you know, and when you see a preacher touch somebody on the forehead and they pass out, well, I'm thinking, okay, this man works for God. And
right.
With him working for God, he's touching these people. And they did something really, really bad. And for them to pass out like that, and then the people would come and carry him out on stretchers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they did something really, really bad, and they dying and going to hell. So
mm-hmm.
The only other person I had ever seen on the stretcher was... a cousin of mine who was in a car accident, and it was at the corner from my aunt's house, and we ran down there, and
hey,
they
but Tim, we're getting
took
off
her
track
away.
A little, okay, we're getting off track a little bit. Okay, you said one
actually,
of your relatives took you to a church, and there you saw someone, you know, touching them like you see on TV, and they fall out because they're supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost or they're healed. Okay, fine. But at the age of 5, what happened? How did that transpire? How did you get out of the eye view of your family members? How did a preacher get you along without another adult there for him to molest you? Tell me about that.
Okay, well, like I said, the only person I'd ever seen on the stretcher was my cousin. And the next time I saw her, she was in a coffin. Okay, so I thought that this man was touching these people and they were dying and going to hell. So later on after church, my family member was standing in line to speak to the preacher, and I went and hid behind this 300-pound woman because I didn't want him to look at me because I just knew he was going to know that I had been stealing dimes out of my daddy's change jar and that he was going to touch me
what?
And I was going to die and go to hell. I was stealing dimes out of my father's change jar.
You said dimes, D-I-M-E-S?
Yeah. You know,
okay.
10-cent pieces. And
okay.
I'm stealing them out of daddy's change jar. And this preacher's going, no. So I don't want him to see me. But then after she walked away, I popped up. And she's like, where you been? I was like, I was over there looking at some flowers. But then when we got home, we were in the kitchen cooking, which I have loved doing all my life because I was raised in my grandmother's restaurant.
Okay,
and
but Kim, we're getting
we
off
there.
Track. Now, let's
we're
say, let's
track.
Say,
trust
we're getting
me.
Off track.
We're not off
okay.
track.
You saw this preacher. He was touching people. They was going on stretchers, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you were at the age of 5. You was taken to this church by one of your relatives.
I'm in the kitchen.
Okay,
listen.
What
I'm
happened?
In the kitchen cooking. The doorbell rang. She told me to go answer
at
the
age
door.
Of 5.
When I opened the door,
Pump the brakes. How, at the age of 5, could you be in the kitchen cooking?
I'm in the kitchen helping my family member. I'm mixing cakes. I had been working in my grandmother's restaurant. They used to put me on a chair and have me stirring the roux. Okay? In front of
okay,
the
so
stove.
At the age of 5, you answered the door, and the preacher came in. Then what happened?
It was the killer preacher. What happened was I ran through the kitchen, through the bathroom, into the bedroom, and up under the covers. And this family member came and found me, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. Anyway, she told me, well, you said, come out here. We got company. So I did that. And then she said she had to go to the store. She forgot something. So I grabbed my sweater, went and stood by the car. And when I stood by the car, she came out, and she's like, no, you got to stay here with our company. So I went back in, and I'm sitting there with this Barbie doll, and I'm looking at this doll like I ain't never seen a Barbie doll before, okay? And he's like, oh, that's a pretty doll you got. Can I see it? And I tried to ignore him, but he said, God don't like ugly. I know you heard me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked over to hand him the doll, he grabbed my wrist, and I heard the car start in the driveway, and before that car got down the driveway good, I was on my back.
And you know, so did he penetrate you? Did he use oral sex on you? What exactly did he do to you?
He laid me down on my back on top of an open Bible.
Lord have
and
mercy.
To this day, I can't read a Bible. I can listen to it, an audio version, but I cannot read a Bible.
Okay, he laid you down.
And yeah,
then what he did, because
me.
He had that much
he
time to deal with
me.
When she came back from the store. So what did he do? Was he abrasive? Was he very rough with you? He laid you down, and what did he do? Because he got a small window before that relative returns from the store.
Okay, well, you know what? When a man is, I've since studied pedophiles, and when a man is, this is his thing, it doesn't take much time for him to finish.
Okay,
okay?
I understand.
Because he knows he
to
doesn't
you.
Have
what
a lot of
What did he do
time.
To you?
He penetrated me.
Okay, what happened after he did that? What was his attitude?
He told me if I told anybody, everybody I loved, I knew and loved, would die and go to hell. And I thought he had the power to do that. So I sat there at that dinner table, and I kept my head down. And to this day, the food
well,
that she served, I can't eat.
Let me just say this to you, and for everybody out there that's listening. When anybody take you against your will, it's rape. And especially when it's a child, be advised that children, they don't understand. You know, and a lot of times these predators can say stuff to them like, if you do this like they told Kim, I'm going to kill your family. And the child trying to protect their family believes that. But I just want you to know that, baby, at the age of 5, it was not your fault, that God was at fault. I hope that you can get over
it. $150,000 worth of therapy and rehab later, I have found that out.
All right, praise God. But we're going to take a little small break, and for anybody who want to call in and talk to our guest, Kim Robinson, you can call in at 347-945-6003. And if you want to ask a question, hit the 1 key, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get into more detail about her life. And it's tragic how she started at the age of 5 that the preacher molested her. That's supposed to be someone who's supposed to be in a position to protect and help her get a soul salvation. So my is all I can say. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
So I heard wise men say,
I wanna see you.
just to be loved by you.
Everybody, to another episode of Unmask with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda. And tonight our special guest is a named Kim Robinson. This is a dynamic woman who had a very hard life, and she's still standing. She's strong. She, at the age of 5, was molested by the minister. And you know, my goodness, how is somebody going to be on the pulpit trying to help you save your soul, and you're going to be a pedophile to a baby? Because at 5 years old, she was a baby, and my heart just goes out to her. She had a very difficult life. Kim, she used to be a madam. She used to be a drug runner. She used to be a convict, got caught up into prostitution, but she's still here to tell her story, and praise God. She had to run for her life. She had people looking for her, but, you know, God is still in control, and I just want to welcome back my fabulous guest, Kim. How are you? Oh, well, I see that. I'm sorry. I got Kim on mute, so she can't answer that question, but let me get off of mute. Kim, how you doing,
sweetie? Okay, I'm good. I'm blessed. Okay, but Terry, I got a question.
Okay.
Why is it? Okay, I heard your ass on Facebook today.
Say what?
I heard you on Facebook today.
Okay, you heard me doing what? I was at the doctor.
I heard your video. And
okay.
I'm just
what
wondering
was the video called?
Down low.
Okay, hold up. We ain't gonna talk about the down low. Okay,
that's okay. We gotta shout you out too, and I just don't understand why in these breaks you're not pumping your poetry.
Because, darling, first of all, that question, I have a lot of breaks in my show, and that's not the subject.
Okay, well,
the topic
I just
for what we're
talking
about.
So profound.
About Let's stay focused,
I just
okay?
found it so profound that,
okay,
you know,
but let's stay focused, okay?
Okay. Believe
okay,
me,
but,
I stay focused. I've been doing interviews for a long time.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. What happened after your relative came back? What did you do? Were you afraid? I mean, how was you feeling with the child?
I hid it as best I could because I did not want anybody to know what has happened. And though I had blood running out of my panties into my little frilly lace socks, I sat there and I hid it. And that's what I did. I hid it so nobody would know.
Oh, my God. So after that point, how was your education? How was your reaction towards men? I know that you said you can't read a Bible because he molested you on top of a Bible. I mean, what happened from that point to the time you moved out at the age of 13?
I didn't move out. I was still living at my parents' house, okay?
Oh.
As far as my parents knew, I was this little goody two-shoes that was getting all A's on our report card.
Oh, that's wonderful, because a lot of times people can't bounce back once they have been hurt, you know, or victim of molestation. So I really applaud you. So at the age of 5, you was molested. Then when did you consciously decide to have a sexual encounter with someone else?
I was 13 years old, and all my girlfriends, they were having babies, and they had done it already, you know. And it wasn't that I was so interested in doing it, because actually the molestation, I disassociated from that.
Well, bless
so
your heart.
That didn't happen to me in my mind. That was how I protected myself and survived. Okay?
Okay, well.
But I had other things to survive because I grew up in a gang-infested area. And
mm-hmm.
at that time, it was either you join the gang or you fight every day.
And that's where
and
I heard, you know, when you live in a neighborhood that got a lot of gangs, you know, you're going to have to pick and choose. And some people consider them to be their secondary family. But can we have a...
That's right, but I didn't need a secondary family because I had a family, you know. But the thing about it was that I was the only child. And growing up with, you know, even though I had a lot of cousins, I was the first grandchild out of 35.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have nobody to have my back. And with my
right.
father being ill, I wasn't going to put that on him. And you got to remember that when I was molested, I felt like my words had the power to kill people. Because
okay.
6 months after my molestation, they told me my father was dying.
Wow.
And
wow.
that he wasn't going to survive long. And the devil's a liar, because guess what? My daddy's alive and kicking today.
Amen, amen. Well,
he
Kim,
is still alive
we
today.
Have a...
But I found a way to get out.
Yeah. Well, caller on the line, 0686, which is Gail. Gail, was that you whistling?
Oh, yes, darling. I have a question for Kim.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you said that you was, I guess, raped at 5 years old by the pastor of the church. And you
mm-hmm.
said that, you know, the blood was dripping down and on your socks and everything, and you hid it. Why did you hide it opposed to, because, I mean, you know, at 5 years old, I would, you know, be afraid and scared. I think I would run and tell, you know, my mother or somebody, but what made you hide that?
He said
okay.
because he was threatened to kill her family. He threatened to kill her family.
Oh, okay. And he threatened to
when,
kill you.
When
that
you're 5 years old and
right.
somebody tells you, if you tell this and you
right.
just
I understand that
person,
now. See, I didn't hear that, but I understand
okay.
that well now, but I didn't
you know,
hear that.
I've
had heard that. I wouldn't even
touch
ask
people
that
on their forehead and they pass out. I thought they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he had the power to do this. So I left my family. And
I understand now. I didn't hear that part.
I wanted to see them die. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this as well. When he had secluded you from, you know, everybody, what was he saying to you? Was he telling you that this is something that God wanted you to do or to make you feel comfortable? Were you afraid at that moment? Or,
he
didn't say one
damn word.
When
he grabbed my wrist and that car was, all I could hear was that car backing under that driveway. And before I knew it, he did not say one word until
he
was over.
He actually penetrated you.
Yes,
you said that. Well, Kim, I see that my co-host, Shalonda, she has a hand up. She has a question she would like to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Shalonda, go ahead, darling.
So after you were molested at five, even though, you know, at five you had that fear, you try to hide it. I know from working with children that if you know a child, you know that something went on. You know that something happened. Did anybody even question? And who did the laundry, who didn't notice that you had blood on your socks and things after everything occurred?
Mm-hmm.
I threw them in the trash. I put them in the trash. I put
my socks in the trash. Mama would beat me down.
Everything
we have, and she
had
wants
to protect my family. I had to protect my father, who was always in the hospital from the time I was a very little girl when he came out of the military. He had thrombophlebitis, and he would go into the hospital because his legs would swell up and he would get blood clots. And I knew that from listening to my family, every Christmas we would get together and my family would get together in a circle, my father's family, and they would pray and thank God that he had made it another year. And
yes.
I was not going to be the reason that my father died.
Well, I understand at the age of five, that's a burden, and no child should have to hold that burden, and I understand that. But, you know, we're going to get back and we're going to talk about when you progress from having a sugar daddy to your life of crime and how you got into becoming a madam. But we need to take a break. And just for the pleasure of my listeners, I'm going to share with them what Kim was talking about earlier, one of my poems, which is called The Download.
Oh, giddy.
And my special of Gail D. Johnson, she did the voiceover. So listen in. And it's sexual, so get the kids out the room. It's called The Down Low.
The Down Low. When you told me that you were coming over, I was so excited. I felt guilty, as if I was going to faint on the spot. It seems like forever that I've adored you from a distance. My heart smiles every time I see your face. I rush home so fast to prepare for your visit. Hot bubble bath, scented candles, soft red light, complemented by beautiful slow music on the radio. I cut up small pieces of watermelon so I could tantalize and feed her supple lips with the sweet, moist, savory fruit. My dream girl finally arrives. I slide slowly off the bed that later will tell the story of our hot, passionate sexual encounter with the intensity of rabbits in heat. As she leans forward against my bed, I came from behind while my hands begin to grope her pussy and squeeze her body. Pulling her closer to me, I press into her velvet skin, trying to merge our flesh into one as she began to remove the scanty articles of clothing. Fully nude, she climbed into my bed as if a lioness on the prowl. and lay there in her nakedness. I felt tightness in my chest. I knew I must not fail to satisfy her, not wanting it to be the last time. Caught up in the modest shyness that I so cleverly concealed behind the scented chiffon scarf that covered her eyes, I looked at her nipples, waiting for my mouth to devour them and her pussy to lavish over. As my fingers slide inwards, my tongue licks her wet, moist, dripping pussy as she sighs. Breathing so slow and so deeply, I allow my tongue to search out and caressingly travel around her body, leaving areas to explore later. I feel my own pussy starts to moisten up, and beads of sweat engulf my breast and cascade down my back. I think this is forbidden fruit. While I don't care, I'm in the moment. How much I crave for her to fuck me ever so hard that my pussy screams out into ecstasy as we both are feeling the overwhelming, intense desire to have sex. After prolonged foreplay, I return to the dark cavern where I part her lips and her aroma of body heat drives me into a frenzy. I lick her hot, steamy pussy while her ass starts to gyrate backwards and forwards as I stretch my hand to reach the vibrator lying beside me. The low hum as I turned it on excites me because I know it's getting ready to become hot and heavy. As I continue to lap up her pussy juices as if likened unto a cat with a bowl of milk, I purr as my body screams out to be touched, penetrated, and sucked. I want to fuck like this is my last day on earth. I roll my head sideways and reached up to pinch her nipples that were standing at attention in anticipation of my touch. We decided to switch places because I'm already on fire. She spreads my legs wide and went down with her experienced tongue penetrating my pussy like a penis in frenzy. I can't contain myself, reaching out to find something to hold on to as I claw at her arms and hands. She squeezes my hands so firmly. I think this can't be as good as it seems. What the hell kind of lovemaking is this? So passionate, so hot, and so intense. I'm loving every minute of it. And then I realize it's lesbian love. Am I gay? Or should I keep this on the down low? Yes. Touch me right there. That feels so good. I'm coming. I'm coming. That feels so good. Thank you. The Down Low by authors Terry E. Lowes. Voiceovers by Gail Delicious Johnson. Copyrighted.
You know, someone asked me recently, what do I do when I have some downtime? So I thought about this for a moment. And to my mind, I thought about a nice hot soothing bubble bath, candles, a nice glass of wine, with just the right book to read. And instantly I thought about authoress Terry E. Lyle, because I knew I was guaranteed to get a good laugh or some soul searching, just like a few of her other books, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, and her latest, Exposed. This author has written 9 books, and I can't pick a favorite. But my advice to you is make your own choice by going to her personal website, where she even autographs the books for free at www.terrylyle.com, or go to Author House, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local retailer to get your copy and start your collection today. Because this is the last time I'm going to say that you can't borrow mine.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that rendition of The Download was my poem that was in Brownback Poetry. It was voiced over by Gail Delicious Johnson. I want to thank her for doing that. And also, I want to thank my guest for spending that time with us tonight on Friday, Ms. Kim Robinson. For a recap for people just tuning in, Kim said that at the age of 5 years old, the minister came to her house and he raped her while another relative went to the store. So now we're going to fast forward. You know, praise God that this young baby at the time was able to continue, go to school, get straight A's, and, you know, just do the right
Wait
thing.
Wait a minute. I'm still trying to get over the download, okay?
Right. Gail always seducing us on this show, Bob. I'm telling you.
Shit. I'm putting that shit on for my husband as soon as I get off the interview. It's home.
That's good. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And anybody else out there listening, you know, you can support the sister. Get your own copy of The Download. You can get it in print or notify me. You'll get an MP3 copy of that.
Shit, Terry, can I pay you to come to my house and recite that shit while me
Girl,
and my husband do
yeah.
that?
Money involved. I show up and I'll read it for you. Hello.
You need to have all that shit on audiobook. Okay, you need an audiobook. Okay, you got Johnny
Kim.
Gill beat.
All right, and tonight is about you, baby. So after
That's
you
okay.
Got that, what was the reason that you decided at the age of 13 to get a sugar daddy, or you know?
Wasn't that I thought about getting a sugar daddy. What happened was, okay, I was the typical 13-year-old, and my girlfriend who lived down the street had, you know how when you're making phone calls, back in the day, you had the regular phone that with the dial. Well, she got the wrong number one day, and she got this guy. And we were 13, and we were still playing with dolls and Barbies and running through the sprinklers and all that shit. But this guy started talking to her, and my father would go sell wigs during the day at the food stamp place, okay? Because well, my father spent a lot of time in the hospital, but when he wasn't in the hospital, he was hustling some kind of way. My father was a tailor, which is where I got my sewing from. And we knew on these days he was going to be, back in the day you had to stand in line on the first and 15th to get your food stamp, okay? Well, he had a booth outside the food stamp place selling wigs. Well, we knew that we didn't have to worry about him coming home. One day my girlfriend comes down, she's like, I told this guy to meet me here. And I'm like, huh? Anyway, when he came, he bought a friend.
Right.
Okay.
So y'all was
and
fresh.
Yeah, very, very fresh. We were like, had never done anything. And you know, even though when you get raped at five, your hymen will grow back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happened was I'm sitting out there and I'm talking to this guy. And she's in the backyard and she's doing whatever she's doing. And the guy was funny. He was so funny. He was just cracking jokes with me and everything. And we got to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be
so
really
did you have
good
a sexual encounter that particular night?
About 6 months later.
Okay, okay.
It was 6 months later. But the next day, you know, the next month when school started, I came out of school one day, and 2 months later, I was still getting my ass kicked. It was to the point where I could hold my own with two or three girls. But when you got five or six girls kicking your ass, you just toast, okay?
That was because you wasn't in the gang? Is that why they was jumping you?
Because I didn't want to join the gang because of the fact that I wasn't fixing to kill nobody and I wasn't fixing to get sex then.
Right, right, right.
You know, those are your only choices. You get sex then or you shoot somebody.
Right, and
people
don't realize
either
that.
Of those things.
Like that today, you're absolutely right, Tim, where you got to screw everybody in that gang to come in, you know, and then once you do it that way, you have lost your value in the game. But okay, so you decided to stand up for yourself and fight these girls.
Right, but the thing was that, you know, one day, you know, me and him, we would talk every now and then because my girlfriend was getting busy with his friend, who turned out to be my best friend's brother.
Mm-hmm.
one of my other best friends, and it turned out to be her brother. And I was telling him, you know, one day he looked at me and he's like, I guess it was a hot day because my mother is white as a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
She's really light, and I would sneak in and use her
mm-hmm.
makeup to cover up my bruises because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want my father, for one thing, at this point in my life, I'm a protector.
Okay.
I got to save everybody. And I don't want my father to know what's going on because if his blood pressure goes up, he could die.
Right,
so,
right. So, Kim, at the age of 13, you was continually getting jumped by gang members. So you decided to get this guy to more or less finance you and be your protector, and he became your sugar daddy.
No.
Is that the guy who
was
in the streets and you was?
He was a 19-year-old gang leader.
Okay, the U.S. Pirates.
Okay. Anyway, one day he saw Bruce and he's like, "What's happening?" And we were friends by then. We had been talking, hanging out, going to movies, going to the Pike and everything else. And he wasn't pressing me about sex or anything, but I told him what was happening. And the next day he showed up at school. And when he showed up at my school after school and walked me home. And, he walked me to the corner where his lowrider was. And when people saw me with him, I didn't have no more problems.
Well, good, well,
everybody
good.
Wanted to be my friend.
Okay,
know?
Well, let's on a little bit with your story. Okay, from 5 being raped, 13 being jumped by gang members, okay, you finally decide to become, you know, hooked up with the guy who was in charge of one of the gangs. He became your sugar daddy. When did you jump from that to prostitution or drug running or whatever? What was the next phase of your life?
Okay, let's put it this way. He showed me, even though it wasn't his idea, it wasn't even his idea to have he was okay with just being my friend. But the thing was that I got tired of hearing all my friends talking about how they were having sex, and some of them were having babies. And
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to find out what the big deal was. And I told him I wanted to do it. And the day that I tried to do that, he pulled this shit out, and I looked at that, and I looked at me, and I was like, okay, that telephone pole is not going to fit in here.
Lord,
and you need
time.
To go. And you need to go. But
well,
then,
you need some KY jelly or something. But anyway, okay, right.
No,
y'all
baby,
got
to me, I was looking at a telephone pole, and
wow.
that just was not going to fit. But you know, we kept being friends, and by then we was hustling and making money together on the street.
So y'all really never
everything.
Had sex?
Yeah, we did have the sex. Finally, I was just like, fuck it, let's do this. And, but it didn't feel good. Anyway, you know, we did it, and after we did it, it just was no big deal. You know,
okay.
But by then,
then
I was the woman of the nigga that was running the gangs, and
okay.
I was like royalty, you know, and
okay.
I was making lots of money because when you jump in cars for pink slips, I mean, these lowriders have thousands of dollars put into them. So
when we were in these
pink slips, I got paid.
Okay, Tim. After you got hooked up with this guy, what did you do next? Was you stealing cars? Was you slinging drugs? Or did you decide to get prostitutes on the street? What did you do next?
Well, I was 13, okay? As far as prostitution goes, I knew all about that because of my family, okay? We have to take that back, too, without getting off track. Because you keep telling me I'm getting off track.
All right, darling. We only got a two-hour show. I don't want to stay focused on how big a thing was and we had sex.
You
want
to know what enthused me to get into prostitution?
Say what? Say that one more time.
You want to know what enthused me to get into prostitution, right?
I want to know chronologically in your life what happened next. Because we know that you spent time in jail. We know that you had prostitutes on the street. We know that you slung drugs. I just want to get an idea chronologically what's going on with you. 5 years old, you were molested by the preacher. 13 years old, you was getting jumped by gang members. So you decide
right.
to become the woman of the head of the gang. Okay. What next
okay.
happened?
10 years old, my uncle, who was one of the biggest pimps in the history of pimping, okay? He had 31 women in the height of his career. He took
what was his name? Where was he pimping at?
That was Ricky Cricket.
Ricky Cricket?
Sunset, baby, where else? But he had women, his bottom woman used to work Sunset, and she met a cartel owner. And when she met that cartel owner, she started her own house where she was running all the girls that worked on Sunset. When she had a party, it was all these cartels would come in, and she would supply them.
Okay, Tim.
When
I want my listeners
they had,
to understand. You said that you at the age of 10, your uncle at the age of 10, right?
Uh-huh.
Your uncle had 31 whores on the street. You said Sunset. What do you mean we said
no,
Sunset?
No. Okay, Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, so
Sunset
you're in California,
Boulevard,
right?
California.
Yes,
Beverly Hills, Hollywood.
Okay, let's explain that so our listeners can stay focused because you got me twisted over here, and I want to be able to understand.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to twist it up. Okay, but the thing was, at 10 years old, I would go with my grandmother, who cleaned offices, had a restaurant called Mom's Soul Food, and supplied food to the movie studios. And I would go with my grandmother. Well, there would be a tour bus that would pull up in front of this apartment building that my uncle had moved all his women into one apartment building, okay? And this is like a five-story apartment building. And
okay.
That tour bus would pull up, and all these Orientals would get off this bus. And she would push a button, and all the girls would go down to the lobby. And you got, I saw all these men bowing and scraping. And, you know, they would walk into the lobby, and they're bowing and everything. And the girls would take them upstairs. Well, a few hours later, I'm with my grandmother, who was cleaning up the room. That was her thing. She would go and clean the apartment. Well, my uncle would give me a paper bag and tell me to go collect the money.
Okay, so what we
established
is that your grandmother was doing a housekeeping for this building that your uncle had his prostitutes in, and you was there with your grandmother, so he would give you a bag to go collect the money, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we...
And I got a grocery bag. I'm not talking about a little sandwich bag. I'm talking about a grocery bag.
Wonderful.
And by
okay.
the time I got back, that sucker was full. Okay.
You're right. But we want to establish, first of all, okay, at 10, you was prostitution in your life. Okay. So now what I like to understand, Tim, okay, 10, okay, you was exposed to this. 13, you decided to be the gang leader. Okay. When did you move out on your own? Because I want to hurry up and get to the point where you was incarcerated.
I had my own apartment when I was 17 by a man that was 42 years old. And I was running drugs for him, and he was my man. He had a bunch of stores.
You were able to put an apartment in your name, and you didn't have no regular job.
I was registered for Compton Community College, which I went through on the VA bill through my father. But I had this man who was, I met him through a friend who had another friend, and we all had apartments, okay?
Okay, but yeah, but no, when you get an apartment, you got to have a security deposit, you got to have a source of income. At the age of 17, how did you secure an apartment in your name?
Baby, when you got a man that got that kind of money, ain't nothing you can't get.
So it was in his name, right?
No, it was in my name.
Okay.
But he paid enough money. You know, he paid like 6 months in advance.
Wow, wow.
And I'm
so,
running
well, how
dope.
Did we just...
A friend of mine from high school who she was married to a friend of his, and I was messing with her husband and her too.
Whoa, pumped it brakes. You said your girlfriend introduced you to your 42-year-old sugar daddy at the age of 17. You got your place. Okay, you also said that you slept with your girlfriend's husband and her. You was bisexual, is that correct?
Still am.
Okay. Okay, wow. Okay, so you were selling drugs in particular.
But actually, I still am, but I'm not practicing because I am my husband's wife. But
you're still practicing bisexuality, but you're not doing it right now because you're married.
Well, how do you think I kept him?
Girl, I'm scared of you. Okay. Now, when did you get locked up?
No, I'm 54 years old, and that's just not the game that I play anymore.
When did you get locked up for selling drugs?
I never got busted for selling drugs.
What was you busted for?
I never went to jail for selling drugs, but I did go on the run for selling drugs.
Okay,
but you told me you spent time
in jail. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, what was it for?
It was for, I got busted for prostitution when I was, my oldest son is 28 years old. I went to jail because I got busted on Sunset Boulevard. Went to jail, never went back to court because I felt like I'm not fixing to just go back in there and turn myself in. Y'all want me, you got to find me. So by the time they start fleshing out those warrants and everything, I went and, my son was 3 months old, and I went to jail because I had been busted on Sunset Boulevard because I would go there in between working the escort services of my uncle.
Okay.
If it was a slow night, I would go there, and I had this thing where I had learned how to rob.
Okay, well, how old were you when you got locked up for prostitution?
26.
And how old were you?
Yeah,
when you
and
started?
I was supposed to do 3 months, and I ended up having to do 19.
Wow. So,
because I was attacked, and I fought, and I hurt the girl so bad that I got another charge.
While you was in jail, somebody tried to jump you, and you hurt her?
Well, there was a dyke, and her thing was she just decided she wanted to be with me, and my thing was I didn't like dykes. If I'm going to be with a woman, I want a woman that looks like a woman.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
But you're right
what
about that. A lot of people know that in the lesbian world, there's a lot of different types. Like the ones they call butch or dyke is the one who has the outward appearance of being a male. The ones that look ladylike and you don't know that they're gay unless they tell you, they call them femme.
Wait.
Yeah.
But don't get it twisted. I am strictly dickly because even if I, you know, even when I went that other route, I had to have a dick as a chaser.
So that means that you was bisexual.
Right.
Okay, well, we ain't disputing that you bisexual or whatever. We just trying to get some facts. Okay, now tell me, after you got out, when did you get into the madam thing where you had people out there working for you?
Okay, when I first got into the business, I was in love with this man. Oh, I met this guy, and it was like, even though I had been in relationships before, this guy was like the end-all, be-all, and he broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when he broke my heart, I was like, okay, I don't never want to see another penis unless he got $100 bills hanging off of it.
So okay. At that particular time, when this guy broke your heart, you stopped giving up your body unless they had a C-note, and then that is when you decided to become a madam? Because some guy broke your heart.
Actually,
what happened to the 42-year-old sugar daddy?
I wasn't a madam for years later, okay? I went to my uncle, and I told him I wanted to get in the business. And he cussed me out. He cussed me out. He told me, you're crazy. You know, I had jobs like Mattel Toys, Blue Cross of Southern California. I had regular jobs. And I liked my jobs, but the only thing was that I would have to train other people, and they were getting promoted over me. So I got really sick of that. So I would run that, you know, I would get on unemployment or workers' comp.
She has another question, and before she comes, when she gets her question out, we have to take a break. Gail, what's your question that you have for our guests?
Okay, well, I'm just, you know, right now listening to, you know, her saga, what she's been through, and, you know, how she got to where she is now. And, you know, it's very intriguing, the things that you went through at such a young age and how you, you know, covered up for different things when you had gotten jumped out of gang, you know, hiding it with your mom's makeup and, you know, different things like that. So, and your quest to get to where you was going, you knew that these things that you were doing were wrong, right? Or did you feel that this was a mode of survival? You know, how was you handling that?
Baby, I grew up in Compton, California, okay? And you get real desensitized to what's right and what's wrong as opposed to surviving at a very young age. When you watch people get gunned down in the streets, when you watch people, you know, gangs fighting and going to funerals.
I mean, it really quick.
You get very desensitized. So where I came from, as far as right and wrong,
she also has a question. And anyone else, if you got a question, press the number one key on your keypad and let me know you have a question. And if you don't have a question, please press the number one again so it doesn't show up on my switchboard. But my co-host, Shalon, she has a question for you. Go ahead, Shalonda.
I actually grew up in a bad neighborhood also, born and raised in Park Heights in Baltimore, Maryland, and I watched several of my friends die daily up there. It was horrendous growing up there, actually. But I always knew my sense of right and wrong. I mean, I'm desensitized to the point where I know things are going to happen around me, and I can't save nobody but me. But I still knew that if I did this, you know, my mother's going to kill me, number one, but also that the street was nowhere to be, no place to be, for especially for a girl. So was it a thrill for you to do the things that you were doing? Did you get kind of a thrill out of it, like you were thrill-seeking? Because even though people grow up in bad neighborhoods and they see a lot, and a whole lot of the stuff that you've seen and done and said on the show, I've been there. But I didn't get a thrill out of just seeking it out. It was more or less a survival thing for me.
Okay, I didn't get a thrill out of killing my baby daddy, my first son's father. I did not get a thrill out of that. I didn't get a thrill out of shooting a man that broke into my apartment, my first apartment, when I was 17 years old. I didn't get a thrill out of kneecapping him. I didn't get a thrill out of shooting someone who was attacking my 42-year-old sugar daddy, but I knew that if I didn't shoot them, they were going to shoot me. It wasn't a point of thrill for me. It was a point of survival.
At that point, it would be survival, but
are you talking about my morality?
You know, like,
are you talking about morality?
Wait a minute, let me get it out. Okay, I'm talking about the thrill of, say, going to get the pink slip for the lowriders. The thrill of being with a 42-year-old sugar daddy.
I had a serious thrill for money. I had a real thrill for money because I had never really experienced an orgasm except for at my own hands.
Okay, that's what I was saying, a thrill of that. I mean, everybody lives a hard life. And it's a whole lot of things that didn't thrill everybody, but I was talking about the things like the money aspect of it with prostitution and being a madam and selling drugs. That was a high for me.
Making that money was how I got high. Okay, making that money was what I did every day. It was air to me.
Tim, we have to take another break. Anybody who want to call in and talk to our guests, send it 347-945-6003. Hit the number one key, that's we know you have a question. And we're going to come back with our guest who has a very exciting life, from being molested by the preacher at 5, from watching her uncle and being part of the prostitution game at 10, to at the age of 17 having a sugar daddy at the age that was 42, for shooting her baby.
Wait a minute,
daddy.
I wasn't a part of prostitution. I wasn't selling nothing.
No, you was taking the money in the bag. You were collecting the money. It's all part of the prostitution
game.
You know, we're going to get from there, from her being locked up for prostitution, from her being a man of her own.
I think it's muted.
And we're going to also talk about when you shot your husband, your dad's father. Why?
My first baby daddy.
Yeah, you didn't get a life sentence. Okay. But you hold that because we need to take a break, and we'll come right back if we take this break.
gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I gotta disregard my broken bottle top and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know.
Shalonda And that tune took us back in time. It was The Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. I want to give some shout-outs to some of my friends. I want to say hello, first of all, to Kelly Moore in Nebraska and his dad, Mr. Buster. I want to say hello to my mom. I want to say hello to my friend in Baltimore, James Halsey, also in Baltimore, Brevette Lynch. I'd like to say hello to Ronald Tatum out of Durham, North Carolina. I'd like to say hello to everybody that took the time to share with us this on this Friday evening to hang out and talk to our guest, Kim Robinson. This female has a wildlife, man. I'm just bringing you back in for the ones who missed what was going on. Kim said that at the age of 5, she was molested by a minister while her relative went to the store. Then at the age of 10, her grandmother took her to her uncle's place, where he had his prostitution going on, and she was collecting the money. At the age of 17, she got a 42-year-old sugar daddy. Then she got into prostitution. She got locked up. And we want to fast forward to find out what happened when you first became a madam. And tell us about the time when you shot your baby's daddy. Did he die? And if he did die, why are you still free?
Okay. Can I say one thing before that?
Sure.
Everybody, I am an authoress too, and I have written 5 books, and you can go to www.kim-robinson.com and
Kim, I'll
read
give you the opportunity at the end of the show to tell them about your books.
Okay.
We're going to get there, darling, but our show is going to shut us down about 45 minutes, so I want to stick to the points that we want to talk about.
Why am I still free? Because my baby daddy was a international gangster, and he was running some organizations that were he was wanted all over the world.
So you're saying that you shot and killed him, the law turned their head because they didn't like him because of what he was doing, so that's why you got free, because he was a bad man?
No. They turned their head because from where the bullet holes were, where he shot at me and missed.
It was self-defense.
And I shot back and didn't. It was obviously self-defense, and he was already under investigation. And I didn't know that they had my apartment hooked up and were listening in on everything, and they heard it all. So I never even had to go down to the police station.
Wow. How old were you when this happened?
I was 25. I had my first child when I was 26.
Okay. Let's fast forward some. Okay. We know that you was exposed to prostitution at 10. Okay. When did you start prostituting yourself?
When I was 20, I was 20. And I went to my uncle, and I told him I wanted to get in the game. And he cussed me out. He told me that wasn't happening. But he did tell me that I could drive. He would let me
okay,
drive
now let me
the girl.
Explain, I understand this. You said that at the age of 17, you had a sugar daddy who got you your own apartment. He had all this
a
money.
A sugar daddy
he
had
all this
whole
money. Then why did you have to prostitute?
A sugar daddy is not a prostitution thing. A sugar daddy is like having a boyfriend that pays for everything.
I know what a sugar daddy is, Kim. And what I'm trying to say is, what would be the purpose to be a prostitute if you wasn't trying to get money? If you had someone already supplying the money.
I got my heart broke.
Because what?
I got my heart broke.
And he was a guy that
I was in love. I was in love with this guy. And we were hustling. He was a booster. He worked at a store. And he would sell. He would bring home. Every day he would come in and he would have these clothes. It was like he was a hell of a booster. He would wear a girdle and these socks that were like really tight. But what
okay,
he would
we don't
do
know
was
how
he
to steal here, Kim. Let's not talk about how to steal and how good he was at stealing. Okay,
okay.
I want to just get
well,
you back.
Meanwhile, okay, everything he brought home by the 1st and the 15th, which we all know is payday, okay, my house that I lived in was looked like a store. I had clothes racks.
Okay.
I loved him. I loved
what
him.
What happened?
To
you
death.
Said he broke your heart.
He
and
broke
that
my
is why you went to your uncle and asked to get into the prostitution game. Okay, what did he do? How did he break your heart? Did he stop paying the rent? What happened?
He had two kids in Louise, and he had two kids in what is that place where the horses run?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, just answer the question, darling.
He had two kids
is,
and a woman in another
state. You broke your heart.
And
that's why you went to your uncle, asked him, could you be a prostitute? What did he do? How did he break your heart? Did he stop paying the rent, or did he start screwing around on you, or did he say you had to get out? What was
well,
the catalyst?
Well, I found out that the woman that he had in Louisville, Kentucky, he was talking to her. His day off was Tuesday, and I have a job, at Mattel Toys, and one day I was off work, and this woman called me and told me that they've been talking. He'd been sending her money. I understood him sending money to his kids, but she put it to me like he was just using me to get enough money together to bring all of them to California.
Okay, so after he broke your heart, did you decide to move out and get away from him? And because you
I wasn't
didn't
move
have
out
any resources,
the house that I was living in was my it was my uncle's house that I was renting. He had to move out. He had to go. When he came
okay,
home,
because
I
was under the impression you said earlier that this man had so much money. He had five different places, and I had a place of my own.
No,
that I was renting.
This is a whole different man.
Okay,
I went through lots of men.
You say focus because you
and,
got me around
but
the circle.
I love this one. I love this one. You know,
okay,
this was
fine.
Even the guy that when I was 13, I loved him, but I wasn't in love with him. The guy when I was 17,
okay.
I loved him, but I wasn't in love with him. But this
okay,
guy,
Tim,
I was
okay.
in love with.
Let's get to it. We have my co-host. She has a question that she wants to answer you. We're going to make that question brief because we want to get more into your story about when you started having women on the street. When, you, I mean, you know, I want to find out some more information. I don't want to keep going around about other things that's not pertinent to
okay.
your life.
When I got
okay, Shalonda, ask
for me
the question, darling.
In Hollywood.
Okay. I just want to ask. Because I really wanted to get moved forward a little bit too. Okay, so if you so you didn't become a madam until after you had your first child, and everything went down with the baby daddy and everything. At what point in your life did you become a madam?
Okay, in Hollywood. Okay, there was a magazine called the Star Magazine.
Tim, you're killing
every
me here.
Every hooker had an ad
Tim, darling,
in this magazine.
Me. All I want
I'm
you to do is
the
answer
question.
The questions. We don't need to know that you saw a magazine. We don't need to know where you was at in California. She wants to know what age were you a madam. We're running out of time.
I had my son. I was 26.
So that's when you start becoming a madam?
Right after you had him, you became a madam.
I was 26. Every hooker in California had an ad in this magazine.
Okay.
And when you write
so
an ad in this
saying,
magazine,
please, I'm looking for a
you
somebody
get
to take care of me.
A clientele.
What does the ad say?
You get a clientele. You post in there that you have, you know, that you have people. And it was a network. There was a network. Everybody knew everybody that worked in that field.
Okay,
so if somebody
trying,
called and they were looking
okay,
for a blonde
ask,
with blue eyes, you
yeah,
knew somebody who was a blonde with blue eyes. So you called that person and you sent that person on the call.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm getting from this, it wasn't no ad saying someone wanted to be pimped out. people were just having, like, you know, these adult stores, they have ads saying they're looking for a twosome, a threesome, or whatever, whatever. But no one
okay.
was saying that they wanted to be pimped out. Am I correct?
Let's say today, okay? Today, you got Facebook. You got girls that are posted on Facebook, right? Well, all those girls got friends. And all those girls got pimps. And all those pimps got women.
Understanding, so, maybe I'm or something. I'm not understanding. Okay, what I'm trying to ask you is
when I really started being a technical madam was when I got to Hawaii.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay. In these magazines, did the ad read that I'm looking for someone to finance me or to be my pimp or madam? How did you know, just because it was in an adult magazine,
okay, the ad
women wanted
would
to be
show
pimped
a
out?
A picture of a beautiful girl, okay? You would have pictures of five beautiful girls. You got a blonde, a brunette, a redhead, a Latin, and a black girl. You put those five pictures up, and then guys would call.
What did you say when you posted those pictures? Because you just didn't become a madam overnight. Now, I don't
really
want to be a madam, but I'm sure either it has to be something where you know them beforehand, and maybe the pimp is not taking care of them financially. Or
I was a hoe. I mean, I was a call girl, okay?
Okay.
So being a call girl, I'm working at agencies. After my uncle told me no, I started driving the girls around. And then I started hosting the parties for my uncle's girls because sometimes they would have more than one party. Okay? So I got to know all the girls. So I ran my own net. And when
okay,
I needed
let me
a girl,
ask you a question. You said you got
I
to know all the other whores that you was driving here and there. Okay, obviously they already had someone taking
driving,
care of them.
Working on Sunset, working the hotels, doing international runs and everything
that's,
else.
That's
I
not what
knew
I'm trying to ask
everyone.
What I'm trying to ask you, why did those girls decide to let you pimp them out opposed to letting them stay?
I was never a pimp, okay?
A madam, you know, to me, pretty much is the same. A pimp is someone got somebody out there making some money. A madam is doing the same thing.
A woman business. Can never be a pimp. And I would never
disrespect
disrespect pimps by saying that I was a pimp. I was a madam. What I did was I ran a service that served men who wanted girls, and I would answer that phone, and they would give me the description of what they wanted.
I understand, what my question is to you, those women that you had under you and you were their madams, how did you pull those women away from what used to be the pimps taking over being
charged? I didn't pull any men, any women away from their pimps. I work with
them. These women just come to you and say, okay, I want to have sex with these guys, and you get a cut. Because a madam has to get a cut. Because if she ain't getting a cut, she ain't a madam.
Okay. You put an ad in the phone book, and you put an ad in a newspaper, and then you get people calling those ads. There's a 60-40 split. Okay.
So basically what you were doing was you put ad in the magazine or whatever that you said women for women for hire or for services. Am I correct?
Yeah, but I was not a pimp. I'm not a man. I can't be a pimp.
Okay, well, Tim, we're not going to get caught up. We understand that. Madams do the same thing that pimps do. Okay, we can say you're not a pimp. But what I'm trying to ask you is why did those women – decide to let you be the one who get a cut of them opening up their legs, having sex with
because
other people.
Because guess what?
Why do they
you can walk up and down. Okay, because you can walk up and down Sunset, Halakawa, Miami, Manhattan, and you can walk up and down the boulevards, and you can turn a trick for whatever you can get out of it. You might get 120, but guess what? I got this ad in the paper, in the phone book, and when I put this ad, these people know that they got to pay 40% to the company before they even meet a girl. Okay, and when that girl walks in there, she knows she's going to receive $200 for every single hour. Out of that $200, I'm going to get $80. Say it's a 60-40 split. I'm going to get 80. She's going to get 120. That woman still got a pimp she got to pay every night before she can go home. So whether she's walking up and down the street, whether she's taking a call from me, if she takes a call from me, guess what? She's going to get her money faster because she's going to get more. She's
okay, well,
more.
Let me just ask
even
this
though
question.
She has to pay me, she's going to make more.
Kim, let me ask you this question. Okay, we have established, first of all, that pimps are supposed to be for guys, madams are for women. Now, you just stated that when these women come back, okay, they still have their pimps, plus they're giving you a cut as a madam. So are you saying that these ladies, they lived in your house or your apartment or whatever? Or how many,
no.
Where would they be getting?
I didn't want that kind
of. Where did the guys come to?
When I got to Hawaii, okay, which was on a fluke. I got to Hawaii.
Let's say here in America first, and then you got to Hawaii. You was doing this in America, though, right? United States.
Huh?
You was doing this right here in the United States, not so much as Hawaii. Let's start right here when you was in California.
Baby, I worked across the country. I put an ad in everywhere I went. I put in an ad. And girls would call me and say, I want to work. I want to go on calls. So that
was my whim. So what was it about your services that people wanted to go to you? What did you offer them?
The same thing that every other escort service offered. A 60-40
but our listeners
split
know, what is that?
Of a clientele that has been checked out. When the guy calls in, I'm going to call and I'm gonna get his address and I'm going to call his hometown. But this was back in the day, okay? So you got to realize that. Back in the day, I could call his hometown and verify his address and phone number. Back in the day, I could verify that he's got a plane ticket because I could call the airport and make sure that he flew in.
Right. So what happened to Hawaii? What made you go from California to Hawaii? What brought that about?
I went over there with a client, and his wife showed up the next day. We had adjoining rooms. His wife showed up the next morning. And I didn't open that door, but I had my $5,000. I had my plane ticket home, and I had my expense money. And I had never been to Hawaii. And I had grown up on Gidget movies, okay? So I wanted to see a luau. And I went to a luau. I went to that luau, and all of these conventioners with these stupid, funny-looking hats like you see in the Flintstone cartoons. They were
okay, let me ask you another question. Okay, you said that you was a madam and people were calling you to get them, dates or whatever. So tell me, why would you be prostituting if you had this going on? Because from where
because
you started
because I don't turn down nothing but her copper. Okay? If I can make money turning a client, why would I turn that down? That means I'm getting all the money.
Because everybody ain't a whore, that's why.
Because guess what? I had a pimp, too. He was locked up in jail, but I still had a pimp. Because when my uncle, that was like one of 31 girls, when he got shot down by a shotgun in the height of his career, Mm-hmm. I had to choose somebody because I didn't have that coverage anymore.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to take another little break. And, Kim, go get you some water because we got a few minutes left. We're going to ask you some more questions. We're going to let you share how to get your books because you are an author.
Are you getting mad at me?
Huh? I just need you to stay focused.
You getting mad at me?
Let's take a little small break, okay,
focused.
Darling?
I am focused. But you're not understanding what the game it really is.
Go get you that, darling.
Thank God it's Friday night, and I just got
life about how she got into prostitution, how she was a madam, how she was a drug runner, how she got locked up, how she killed the baby's daddy, and she's still here to talk about it. And we're glad that she's here to share her story. But, Kim, I see that my co-host, Shalonda, has a question for you.
Okay. Hey, do you have anybody else that's calling in?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
I'm asking because I had a friend named Ann Henderson. It would be a 210 number. And
no.
I know
she has
been
not called
in. No? Okay.
Okay, Kim.
All right. Okay, Shalonda, what you got to ask me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, how long were you in the business of being a madam?
11 years.
11 years. So what
11
drew
years.
It to an end for you?
Huh?
What made you say, okay, I don't want to do this anymore?
What made me say I didn't want to do this anymore? Okay. Terry, don't interrupt me. Okay. I had this little girl that I was taking care of, whose mom, when I got to Hawaii, and I hooked up with a friend of my uncle's who remembered me from when I was a little bitty girl, and he gave me a full-page ad in the Hawaiian phone book that was bringing off the hook, okay? Plus, I went on that luau, and when I went on that luau, all these conventioneers were acting crazy. And the girl that was supposed to be managing the company, for the luau, the tourist company, she was 18, and she just started crying because they were grabbing her ass and grabbing her butt. And when I saw what was going on, I told her, okay, you stand right here next to me. And everybody, I went and banged on the drum, and I'm like, I need everybody's attention, okay? You got this little girl sitting here crying like a baby because y'all been disrespecting her and everything. But when you signed up for this luau, you filled out a form. And on that form, you put your phone number and your address. And what's that over there? It's a camera. If you don't want your wives to get copies of all the shit that you're doing, y'all are going to dig way down into your pockets and see how much better you're going to make this little girl feel. Well, we slid $4,000 that night. And when I got off the tour bus back at the hotel, the woman that owned the agency said, I don't know who you are. I don't know nothing about you, but do you want a job? Well, guess what? All these guys that were acting crazy, I had already met with my uncle's friend. And when I saw that they wanted pussy, I called and him, and he called all the pimps. And right before the luau was over, all these girls showed up, okay? And they all went back to the hotel. And guess who got a 60-40 split out of that? And then
was it you?
I rented.
So what?
That was me. And then
okay,
I rented
but darling,
the penthouse.
Tell me how that made you quit. I'm not understanding all this
right.
stuff. I mean, we
made me quit the game because
60, 40,
one of those girls was this woman that showed me around the island, and she was a beautiful girl. I'm talking about hair down to her ass, pretty face, everything, and she had a daughter. And her daughter's name was Lena. And the girl got hooked on ice. And she started using ice, which if you work for me, you cannot fuck with ice. You can snort up fucking Peru as far as cocaine went. But you cannot fuck with ice.
Well, can
anyway.
I just say, Kim, first I need to apologize for interrupting you. I shouldn't do that. But because this is only a two-hour show, is it possible the rest of the question we ask, we don't have to get a little scenario first? Because Shalonda
said, I took care of that girl for 2 years while her mama went to jail, okay? Her mother got out of jail. She worked for me. She was doing great. She got back on ice. She came and when I
what
put her
saying
out
is that
and
the reason
wouldn't
you
let
quit,
her work for me.
You saw someone else get locked down and you was responsible for taking care of that child, so you had an epiphany that this was time to get out the game. Is that what you're saying?
No. I had an epiphany when that woman got back on ice while I was still letting her work for me, and then she tried to turn me into the police, and when that didn't happen because I paid the police, okay? But guess what? She came to get her daughter, and when she came and got her daughter, she went and picked up a trick, and that trick was killing girls. And he killed her, and he killed that baby. He took
okay,
a knife, a jagged edge knife, and he
showed
built
you
that knife.
You island, and you got a 60-40 split. I don't understand what that had to do with the question. She got me so confused. I don't know what the hell to ask you now.
What got me to want to get out of the game? When you see a little girl that you've taken care of for 2 years, and you see her on the news, and she's being carried out in a black bag, where a man has taken a serrated knife and jigged it up inside of her?
Well, that was
and
the answer
you,
he was
and then a
for.
Couple of years,
right.
A couple of weeks later, you have two girls thrown off of a fucking balcony of the 30th floor? And
no,
then
yeah, I would think that
tourism
tourism was down. You should have known these things are possible. I mean, because that's a deadly game you're into, whether you're doing drugs or you're being a madam. I mean, those
I never, ever thought that that kind of horror could happen. I never. You got to understand, you don't think that those things can happen until they happen.
Okay. Well, I see that Gail got her hand up on the switchboard, and if she don't want to ask the question, then she needs to press number one. But I'm going to take a chance that she do have a question. Gail, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, ma'am. Now, we've gone for a long roller coaster ride, and I do appreciate you, you know, sharing your story with us. But I did hear a little ways back, and I don't mean to go back because I know we're trying to go forward, but that you had incident, I think, where you said you shot your baby's daddy or you stabbed him.
I shot him.
Huh?
Yeah, I shot him. He shot at me, and I shot. He missed, shot back, and I didn't.
So is he dead, or you
I was 2 months pregnant. I was two
he's
months
dead.
Pregnant. Yes, he's dead.
Oh, did you get charged for that? Is that what you went to jail for, as a matter of fact, or what?
No.
Mm-mm.
I didn't even have to go to the police station because it was self-defense.
Oh, okay. So there was a pattern of abuse with your baby's father, evidently.
No, there was a pattern of the feds had my house bugged, and I didn't know that, and they were listening in.
Okay,
well, darling, could you tell us about how you became a writer?
Okay, one thing I got to tell you about before I tell you about that is the wonderful man that I'm with and I've been with for 25 years. When I left Oahu because of that little girl getting killed whose name was Lena, and my daughter today, her name is Kalina in honor of her, I met this man in a airport, and when I knew nobody else in Texas, but when tourism went down and it was the police invited me to leave Hawaii because these two girls got thrown over the 30th floor balcony that worked for me and were on a call, but they didn't check out of that call.
Kim, you said that you're currently 54 years old, and you've been with your husband
now. I'm
54
years old. I've been married for 25 years to the man who rescued me out of the grind, out of the gang.
At 29 when you met this guy. Same age that you was tricking and selling drugs, because you said that at 26 you had your first child. And then you got into the game still of
But I
being
married
a man
another
of,
guy. And I married another guy, and he tried to kill me.
At the age of 29, if you're 54 now, and you've been together since 25 years, at the age of 29, you were at the height of your game into the prostitution and the drugs. Am I not correct?
No, I was not. The prostitution had went down because in Hawaii it was Desert Storm, and tourism had cut. Tourism was just...
Hey, but you're talking about co-host that at 26 you had your son and then you start becoming a madam. Okay, now if you had the son at 20 and at 29, just 3 years, when did you become a madam? You know, because you got with him at 29.
Okay, when I was 27, I had to leave my son with my parents and I had to go on the run because of either go to jail for 35 years or go on the run for 7. Which one would you choose?
What was you doing?
I was working in Vegas. I was working a flight, and the guy that I was messing with, who was actually a fugitive, he brought some white bitch into my apartment that had my name on it, and it was full of drugs that had my fingerprints on it. Into my apartment, and when she got busted, she told it. So he came to Vegas and told me that I'm busted into the apartment. Everything has your fingerprints. They're looking for you. When I talked to the lawyer told me, you either go on the run for 7 years or you go to jail for 35. I went on the run for 7 years, and that's how I ended up working my way across the country and working in Oahu, and that's how I met the husband I had today. And when that 7 years was up, during that time, I had two children. But he didn't know that.
Okay. Since you got
he knows it now, but he did not know that. And my husband that I had before him tried to kill me, and he rescued me and put me in the hospital where they had left me for dead. And when I got out 3 months later, the bill was paid. I had an apartment paid up for a year, and I had
okay, well, we need money. Let me ask you a question, because I'm sure my listeners are getting confused. Okay, you was in Hawaii. You were still tricking. You met your husband. Then you said... He came back because someone left you for dead. So who left you for dead?
No.
And,
No. When I met that I went today, he was going through a divorce. I met him in an airport. I was on my way to Arkansas jail to pick up money because I was funneling drugs through the guards into the jail for my pimp, who was my pimp at the time, okay, but he was locked up. See, your show
okay,
is not
so,
long
okay.
enough for me.
But wait,
okay, you know
I've
what?
Been
if your people
would for a lot of times, and I say hi to people, but, you know, even though someone has their own personal problems, what made him gravitate towards you? And between the time you met him at the airport, how long after that did he find you beat up and everything that he took you to the hospital?
It was about a year. It was about a year. And I didn't know anybody else in Texas. And when the maid found me and my current husband beat the hell out of me because I was trying to leave him because people were trying to kill him. And I had a son, and I sent my son back to California. And I
How
wanted
many children
to leave.
Did you
he,
have at that time?
One.
Okay.
Only one.
So the one that you murdered.
My other two babies are by my knight in shining armor.
Okay, let me ask you a question. The guy that you killed, was he the one who beat you up? And the maid found you?
No.
Okay,
no,
well,
that's
what I'm saying. You got me confused. You met this guy at the airport that's your current husband now for 25 years. You're currently 54
mm-hmm.
years old, so that must have meant you met him at the age of 29. You had your first son at 26. Then you said you left your son with your mother, okay?
No.
You said you worked your way across the country.
That was my second husband. Actually, it was my third husband. Actually, I have three husbands.
You've been busy since the age of 26. I mean, you've been busy all your whole life. When did you first get married?
Oh, I'm a busy bitch, but that's okay. It's because my baby's daddy, I wanted that baby, but I knew that with the way that we fought and with I'm driving down the street in a car that he's been in, and people are shooting at me. If I wanted to have that baby, I would have never been able to do it. But if people want the real details, they can only treat like the housewife and get them.
Now, what ages were your marriages? How old were you when you got married 3 times?
I didn't marry my baby's father, my first son's father.
But he
was
married 3 times. Give me the ages of those 3 marriages.
19, 20, 28, and 24.
That sounds like you said 19, 20, 24, and 28. That's 4 marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So you were legally married,
but
or were you just calling your...
That if you annul a marriage before 3 months, it doesn't count.
Okay,
and
wow.
I annulled
the first
3 marriages.
My co-host,
before 3 months.
No, we got a caller on the line here whose last digits in 1625. We got a call for my guest. Go ahead and ask your question. 1625, ask your question of the guest, please.
My name is Tony, right?
Tony, okay.
And, Tony from Baltimore. I know Mr. James Halsey.
Okay.
What I'm listening to this is a lady. This is confusing
yes,
to me.
Yes, it's a lady.
It's confusing me. I can't say how she's going through all this stuff and then coming through. It's confusing. What is she doing? How is she doing this shit? Because it's crazy.
Okay, and that's right there. You hear the guest saying the same thing I'm saying, Kim. You're jumping
what
the
exactly
thing,
is
the
it
thing.
That
you
are confused
about? How can you be doing all this shit? Then you're going to get mad? Then you're going to do this and do all this? And,
yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Shit is crazy. I don't get it.
It's called
I don't understand either, but the caller had a question. He said, how are you doing all this stuff? You know, you said you've married 3 times. You just said 19,
right.
20, 24,
yes. How are you doing all this?
28.
As far as the husbands go?
Stop the husbands.
Is that what you're confused about? Because he says he's confused about me doing all this, but I don't think he's confused about the husband.
That you was married 3 times. Now you were the man of your life.
Is that what you're confused about, sir?
In the airport. Come on, in the airport. Come on. Why? This is not panning out, Kim. Come on.
Yeah, the airport thing.
Okay, let me tell you something. I'm in
the
airport on my way to go and visit my family and drop off
drugs. Everybody can't talk at one time. Everybody can't talk at one time. We can't hear you. Everybody's talking at one time.
You a man, right?
I'm all man.
Sir? You're a man, right?
All man.
Have you ever sat in the airport, saw a bitch that you really thought was cute, and even though you were married, trying to save your marriage, but going through a separation, started talking to her?
No,
because
if I'm married, I don't care what I think is cute. I'm about my wife, so that, you know,
but what about if you're in the middle of a separation? Because she doesn't feel like your career. Okay, well, guess what? He was
in
the middle of a separation. Can you realize that maybe a man was in the middle of a separation?
Okay, well, I think what the confusion thing is.
That's confusing, though.
Well, I think what's confusing, because what is confusing to me is that you said you were still tricking when you met your current husband in the airport. You were
and he didn't have a clue what I was doing.
Along the way, y'all must have kept in touch. How does this man know when you fly to two different destinations, your ass got beat up, you're somewhere in the main car, you're to the hospital, and now he paid it?
How did he know? Why would he give a fuck where I was going?
I think you're fabricating this shit, man. Really, I really do.
I don't really give a shit.
How did this stuff happen? Like the way you're saying it. I mean, listen to what you're saying, Ken.
Listen to what you're thinking, okay? Because your life has been so, good.
Now you're gonna know about my life.
I don't want to know about your life. But like
I'm glad you don't.
You being a man, you one of them Christian-based people that feel like, okay, I'm married and I'm gonna stay married. Okay, let me tell you about my husband. Are you gonna listen or are you gonna talk? Because I can't do both at the same time.
You're very confusing.
I had a husband that was married to his job, and his first wife did not believe in him and his job. And when he got the opportunity to take his shit to the top level, he said, I'm not leaving D.C. So he left, and they separated. Well, during this conflicting time, he met me in an airport, and I was on my way to go visit my pimp and drop off a couple of keys of dope. And then this man had the opportunity to come to Hawaii, the Big Island. I did all my running on Oahu, okay, so I could go to the Big Island, and I could take that time and pretend for a minute that I was on a date. This is a regular date.
But,
you know what I mean?
Can I ask you something, Ken? You just confusing me right there because you went from Hawaii to D.C. I don't understand.
No, I didn't say anything. I didn't say I was going to D.C.
Right there,
I said,
he lived in D.C.
I said he lived in D.C. I was going to Arkansas. Okay? Are you like a ringer to just make up shit and cause confusion? If you were fucking listening to me for a minute, you would understand what the fuck I'm saying. But me, you one of them holier than thou married motherfuckers that just can't understand a motherfucker meeting a bitch in the airport and thinking she's cute.
Your website is kim-robinson.com.
Yep.
So where is your relationship with God in all of this? Because you don't talk like you have a relationship with God.
You know what? I'm still working on that, okay?
I'm the first one to admit that I'm still working on that.
But guess what? I can go tell people that if I've been through everything I've been through and I survived it and somebody reached out to me and helped me, then...
Well, you definitely got a testimony.
There's no reason why it can't... Why you can't survive whatever it is that you're going through.
Okay, Tim,
that
I want to ask
my,
top of the
that's
show
my whole thing.
That, you know,
I'm
a whole lot of the stuff
I'm
that you say, I've been through. I've literally been through a whole lot of the stuff
no,
that you
well, like
saying.
Homeboy said,
our outcome
he thinks
were
all this shit
different.
Is fabricated. Okay. Why
no,
would
I
anybody,
I sent you all of my
why
money
would
back. I'm
anybody,
my second husband.
Why would anybody fabricate this kind of shit?
I don't know, man.
Anybody
I don't understand, Ken, but you're just going in circles to me. That's what's confusing me, because you go
right,
one place.
You know what?
You were born confused, and you're going
to
be that until the day you die.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Right.
But I've been listening for a while before I hit the one. You just keep going around in circles. And you think coming right
when
back
when a woman walks up to me and her face, she's got a big ass bandage on her face, and she takes that bandage off after I've spoken at the Potter's House, T.D. Jakes Church, and she takes that big ass bandage off, and she has 150 stitches in her face because she jumped on the back of the man that was raping her daughter, and he beat the hell out of her and cut her.
By putting her in a shelter
and getting her clothes.
Other women don't have anything to do with your life, and we just want to get you to highlight.
Oh, they have a lot to do with my life, because had I never been through what I've been through, I couldn't help
people. How is your life consistent now? What are you doing with your life now?
Oh, man, I speak at churches. I help women get in shelters. I speak in churches. If you look on my website and
you
look
about?
Under author events, I've spoken at the Potter's House. I've spoken at churches across the country. And I've let people know. Huh?
I know you wasn't cursing up in church, were you?
I don't have to. They didn't piss me off like this idiot, this person you have on the phone. Okay, because he pissed me the fuck off. Okay, and like I said, I'm still a work in progress. You know what? No, I didn't curse in church. But baby, you gotta understand. You gotta understand that whatever I've been through, it helps me to help others.
Okay, but my thing is now, what does your life consist of now? What are you doing with your life? All the stuff that
what
you have
do
been
now?
Through.
I write
all
my
of the
book.
Stuff, wait a minute, listen. All of the stuff that you have been through, the stuff that you've been saying that I've been listening to, what does your life consist of now? What is your life about now?
Okay, I can say that the most thing that I'm most proud of is writing my family's history, starting from the 1800s. To 1997, which was my grandmother and my great grandmother's life, and it goes from slavery to 1997. I think that's my proudest. That's one thing I'm very proud of, because it's inspired my family members, who all come from Compton, and who are all hustlers and gang members and everything.
But I'm
saying,
what is your life consist of now? I'm not talking about the past. What is your life?
I write every day.
What is you doing now?
I write every day. I check my emails. And I sell something that my daddy passed down to me. I sell. I love sewing. I love cooking. And I'm the square spot on the planet. Okay?
I just want to say this.
My life is now.
Tim, I just want to say this. I thank you for the
No,
time.
I want to know what he has to say about what I just said.
Okay, go ahead. Good. Then we got to wrap it up. We're on overtime.
Okay.
But
yeah. But what I'm wrapping up, I want to, you never told me what your life consists of. The day you go
I just
around.
Said I'm the smartest person on the planet.
Okay,
I
okay,
cook,
what
I
I'm
clean,
saying.
I sew, and I write.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
And I take care of my man.
We don't wrap it up. I'm gonna wrap my shit up. I'm done. I'm confused. I'm telling you, I'm confused.
You know, I'm stuttering. Hell, shit, I'm confused too. But I just want to say this. I'm gonna give a highlight of what I thought I grasped from your life, and that was at the age of 5, a minister came over your family's house and raped you. Okay. Next time you had sex was at the age of 13 with this guy who was 19 years old, because he was ahead of the gang, and at the time women was jumping and beating the hell out of you, and you got tired of getting beat down. Okay, then at the age of 19 still, okay, you found another sugar daddy. He was 42. He got you a place in your uncle's house. And at the age of 20, and then you was arrested for prostitution. You had a son at the age of 65. Okay, between the age of 26.
I've been arrested 7 times for prostitution.
Okay. Okay, the bottom line is, Kim, okay, you met the husband you got now somewhere at the age of 29, because y'all been married 25 years. You met him in the airport.
Yeah.
So obviously y'all kept in touch. How?
He came to Hawaii one time, and what turned into a weekend, what was
so you would be up in
weekend,
Hawaii?
No, what turned into a weekend of him visiting me turned into 2 weeks. And it was awesome.
Where were you at when you got beat down? Where were you at?
Yes, sir.
In Texas. I married this other guy. And I
How
went
did
to
guy
Texas.
Know
from
Texas?
Changing again. Changing.
Yeah.
He came to visit you in Texas?
No. This was not the same guy, okay?
Okay, well, I
met this guy. We spent 2 weeks together, and it was magical. But he got back with his wife.
Okay, how did you meet this guy you married to now? You said you met him at the airport. How did you meet him?
Right. That's what I want to know. Yes.
I met him at the airport.
Okay, but then you said
he
another guy.
He came to Hawaii on business. He came to the Big Island. I was
okay,
on Hawaii.
Okay, but you was in Texas, right?
No, I was in Hawaii.
Okay.
I was going to Texas to drop off drugs.
Damn, we got to wrap this
read
up.
The
I'm
damn
going over
book. It's called Street Life to Housewife Part 2. It comes out next month. Street Life to Housewife Wife Part 1
has been out since
2010.
Okay, I got to talk now. We're on overtime.
My husband now.
Everybody
yes.
that I'm offering.
My husband
life,
now.
Go to my website, which is www.terrylle.com. You will see my books that I have. I got 9 books out. Also, I'd like to tell everybody thank you for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio with Shalonda and Gail who tuned in and this guest named Tony. And thank you, Kim, for spending the time to be here. Now, I don't know, but I'm confused. Somewhere along the line, I lost it. But,
I'm
going to give everybody an opportunity to get a shout-out, and I'm going to leave you for last, Kim, because you're my guest. This guy, Tony, is there anything you want to say?
I just want to say I'm confused. I'm with you. I'm confused.
Okay. Shalonda, is there anything you want to say?
I just want to say thank you, Kim, for being on the show tonight. I know it was a lot of information. It really was an information overload. Let me let you get back in. It was an information overload, but I do thank you for being on the show tonight and opening up our eyes to the life that you live.
Okay, Gail, is there something you want to say?
All you got to do is email me. Any questions you have, I will answer. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, Kim, is there anything you'd like to say? Gail must have a phone on mute.
Hey,
you
know what?
Wait for her to finish
saying
what
you
want
to say, Gail?
I just want to say, you know, thanks, Kim, for the information that you gave up. And, you know, it was a very informative story, you know, listening to it. And, you know, I do appreciate you sharing that with us because some people wouldn't, you know, want to, you know, go in depth with, you know, how you went in depth with being raped by a preacher and, you know, prostitute and selling drugs, becoming a madam, you know, doing the things that you did in your life, you know, so I do appreciate that, and God bless you.
Can I tell you why I do what I do?
Went through, are you on medication today?
Who's asking this question?
I'm asking a question, Terry. I'm saying after all that you went through, I mean, anybody else, if it was me, I'd be kind of like out there,
yeah,
you know, so are you taking medication or anything?
Somebody needs. I would.
You know what?
I would need,
I'm
going to
answer this
that.
Like this, okay? I have helped thousands of people because of everything I've went through. And whatever medication that I've taken and been through, yeah, they put me on warfarin, they put me on Prozac, they put me on all kind of stuff so that I could realize and come to a point of remembering what happened to me.
Medicine you're taking.
Remembering the things that I was blocked out of. But guess what? I haven't taken any of that shit in years.
I can appreciate what he went through, but to me, it's, I can appreciate what she went through, but it's
the only thing
so
that
it's
makes
saying,
what I've been
so
through
confusing.
Make sense is to help other people.
You're just going
the only thing that makes it make sense, the only thing that makes me being raped by that preacher at the age of 5 make sense is the fact that I can help other people and let them know that just because something happened to you, it doesn't have to define you.
And you're absolutely correct.
Okay.
And
I can agree with that.
Yeah. Kim, tell us now how they can get your books and the titles of your books before we get shut down.
The Ruin the Gumbo, My Family History, starting in the 1800s, going through 1997. Street Life the Housewife, my story of from the day I was born to ninth to the time that I was 23.
Baby, we need to just say
Street Life the Housewife Part 2 will be coming out in 2 months. And The Kings of Credit, my uncle's story of being locked up for 21 years for running credit laundering, which he made millions at. Food for the Soul, which features 200 authors, and Sweet Satisfaction. My new book is coming out next month. It's called The Civil Right to Love, First Fiction. www.kim-robinson.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. They can get it at all those places.
Kim?
Okay. Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
If you stop talking, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, Kim.
Okay, I'm just going to wrap this up by saying this. Thank you, Kim, for the time you shared here on the show. But honestly, darling, we need to talk off the phone because I am straight confused because the stories jump from one thing to another, and you got a tendency to, you know, go around the bush instead of just answering the question. Sure, you have confused most of my listeners because I'm straight confused. You know, and, you know, anything you would like to say, darling, before I wrap this up?
She just disconnected the call.
She did?
Yeah.
What the hell? She just hung up?
Yeah.
Hello?
Unbelievable.
It's really confusing. I was listening before I got tapped in. And I was confused. It was just going back and forth.
I'm not trying to be funny, but truly I am confused, and I didn't ask her. Well, if she's taking messages, it'd be hurtful. I was just asking because it sounded like maybe
she was on medication
got her
right now.
Because she's just going from thing to thing to thing. I want her to listen back to the show and see how unconnected it appears.
My thing is, she might have been through some stuff, but whatever's going on with her now is just, she just going back and forth. You know, it's just coming back around.
Right. And
she said one thing and go back around to something else. And you can't tell
her. Bless her heart. But, you know, I'm not trying to attack her, but, you know, it was just making me
neither.
Me neither.
Right.
You got to call it the way it is. If it don't make sense, it don't make sense.
It don't make sense. That's it.
Let's go ahead and end this so I can get my kids. Yeah, with family members and friends of hers who might listen that, I hope you understand I'm not trying to attack Kim, but, you know, I'm just being honest and truthful because I am an adult. This is an adult show, and I just felt like maybe Kim was out of it or something because it was like all garbled up to me. I don't know.
Yes.
Anybody agree with that except me?
I agree with you.
Well, as you know, like I was hearing bits and pieces of, you know, what was going on. So I really don't, you know the concept, but I do know that it was getting a little bit confusing because I think you was asking one question after another, and I guess she was trying to finish with another question. So maybe that's what had confused her. I don't know.
I don't think it was that. I just think that
her
I'm saying I don't know if it was that or not.
You know, but I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well,
we all want to do that, but I think she's a confused individual, and I think whatever medication she's on is making her confused because she's just going back. She's just going
I was trying to be cordial.
And you asked her one question.
Let me say this. She may have been confused because of the simple fact these things have been happening in her life ever since she was 5 years old.
Right,
and
right.
Over the years, it may have come to her, and maybe some of the things she had
right.
blocked out and how they came out, was it the way that they just came out? Because
right.
I remember when I was raped when I was 15 years old, I had suppressed it for years, didn't talk about it or anything. But when, what it made me start talking about was the three of my girlfriends was raped by their biological father, and I was bringing up things not in in succession or how they actually happened until I sat down and thought about it and got all my thoughts together because it was just so traumatic for me. So maybe that's why it's coming out the way it's coming out. Just, you know, everything
but you,
just
but you,
out
make, but you make more sense than she did, even from what you just said. I can understand what you said. I can really understand everything related to a story.
In the background story, you got lost from the main idea, the point.
Because she
gave so much information in the background that made you not,
you not even want to read out the book.
You know, it was just too much information.
I agree with you, Shalonda. I hope that everybody that listening to this broadcast don't feel like we attacked them because I'm not trying to attack her.
No, I don't.
No, I had people on Facebook hit me up like, what is she talking about? What is going on? Why is that a bigger story?
Like here, there, you know, and I'm not connecting. At the airport, then she said she was in Hawaii. Then she said she was in Texas.
She was in Washington.
What the hell? You said you was married three times.
But when we were going into succession, she never said anything about the marriages. And then, I thought that was her first husband. It was her only husband. She said, four.
And I ain't never seen nobody person and don't get a chance to go to jail. I don't care whether he wanted it or not. Well, whether he wanted it or not, they just write him off the road. But murder is murder. How you, you know?
Right,
just
kill
and don't even go to jail.
What
just
gave you the right to have women? And where did two guns come from? I don't understand how you had a gun and he had a gun and y'all just shot at each other. That don't make sense.
That got me right there, too.
Well, you know something? The love don't change, and I pray that, you know, she have 25 more wonderful years with this man that she's with. Because obviously, you know, he got to be a good man. Because when you go through a lot of stuff like that, you're gonna have some baggage that's gonna make you act weird. Or you know, he's gonna need to be strong just to be there to comfort her. So I hope she get all the help she needs. I think it's the same time.
He ain't got no choice.
Yeah, but
my thing in life, you have to. I'm a blind individual. You know, I'm gonna let y'all know I'm blind. But to be blind, I have to overcome a lot of stuff. And when you can be who you are and accept who you are, then that's a good thing. But you got to know within yourself who you are and what you are. You can't, you know, just fathom, you know, just go. You got to just know. You got to be focused on what you are. And do
exactly.
What you can do.
I want all my listeners to know, anytime you want to check out the archives of my shows that has aired, and this one included, just go to www.blogtalksradio.com/authoress Terry E. Lyle. This segment is called Unmasked, and tune in next Friday at 7:30 with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda, and our guests will be abducted by aliens. So this is going to be a show you don't want to miss. We thought you was out of space tonight. We're really going to take you there next week.
So hang in there, and we got to get up out of here
because we're on overdrive.
I will be in that Friday.
Thank you.
All right, darlings, and we're going to play for you. She's Got Papers on Me by Richard Dimplesfield.
All right, Carrie Lowell, enjoy the show.
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Night.
Night.
just took a shower. Once again, I'm heading home, but I'm satisfied to the bone. Like so many times before, you had me begging for more. Now I'm running home to her. When it's you I prefer. She's got paper on me. She's got paper on me. Getting tired of sneaking in, lying about where I've been. How long can this go on? Pretending to love someone who just don't turn me on. It's every time I taste your sweet, sweet lips, I make up my mind to abandon the ship. Man, oh man, she's cramping my style. I look in her face and see your sweet smile, but she's got paper on me.
Good mother and a good wife. I made you what you are. You hear me? two unless I wanna be. And right now I'm in no mood to be number two. That's right, I got favors on you. And you do understand, my dear, that you must pay me to be free. That's what I said. You're gonna pay me for my years and my tears and all my wasted years. And I know being with me hurts you. And I mean, you don't dig me anymore, but I'm hurting too. And you can tell that Disney broad, you know, the one you singing about, the miss sweet little thing that's always on your mind, that I'm not letting you out of this unless you buy me out. I'm not going through no more hard times or bad times, because I can do bad all by myself. All by myself. Yeah, I got papers on you. But now I'm throwing them in the trash can of my memory. Now take your little albums and your little raggedy components that never work, and you can scat. You hear me? Just use my life up, use my body up, use all my time up. Boy, I don't know what to say about you.
Thank you for listening in to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lau and Shalonda. We appreciate you being with us tonight, and please come back next Friday night at 7:30 p.m. sharp Eastern Standard Time for our next show. You have a great night.